Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not.
Governor Andrew Cuomo and New York Senator Chuck Schumer spoke on October 23rd in Albany County against the current tax proposal in Washington that would eliminate state and local tax deductions. In Albany County, they said the proposal would raise taxes on one in three taxpayers by an average of $3,438. Cuomo and Schumer will tour the state's congressional districts to urge representatives to vote against the bill. Locally, Representative John Faso signed on to a letter in June with many other Republican representatives opposing this part of the larger tax proposal being discussed in Congress. Cuomo said, quote, "Now they put a proposed compromise on the table on the theory that New Yorkers are stupid. We are not stupid. This is like the old three-card Monty trick on the corner. What they now say is, well, we'll only raise taxes on the wealthier New Yorkers. They'll have an income cutoff. And we'll only eliminate the deductibility above that income. Yeah. And what happens when those people who see their taxes skyrocket say, you know what, I'm going to move out of the county. You know what, I'm going to move out of the state. It's too much. That tax burden falls on everybody else." End quote. Zachary Warm brought reports for Politico that the Senate voted late October 24th to end a rule that allowed Americans to file class action suits against banks instead of being forced in many cases into private arbitration. New York Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand voted against the measure, which tied 50-50 with Vice President Mike Pence casting the deciding vote. On July 25th, Representative John Faso voted in favor of the measure. The bill weakens the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. President Trump is expected to sign the bill. Read the full story in Politico. On October 25th, Representative John Faso voted for H.R. 732, the Stop Settlement Slush Funds Act of 2017. The bill would prohibit federal agencies from entering into or enforcing any settlement agreements that involve payments other than to the federal government, direct restitution to victims, or to remedy harms directly and proximately caused by the defendant. Vanita Gupta, the president and CEO at civilrights.org, said the bill, quote, "was motivated largely by two settlements between the Department of Justice and a few of the nation's largest banks, stemming from conduct that led to the 2008 financial crisis, settlements that included contributions to HUD-approved housing, counseling agencies, and legal aid organizations," end quote. Gupta is unclear about why the bill is needed and wrote, quote, "It appears to us that the sponsors of H.R. 732 are more troubled with who the banks chose to support than with any broader legal or policy principle," end quote. Representative Bob Goodlatte, Republican from Virginia, claims President Barack Obama's Justice Department prevented settlement payouts from going to conservative-leaning organizations. Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, voted against the Republican tax cut framework October 26th that passed narrowly. Faso voted against the plan with several other New York Republicans who have voiced disapproval for the proposal to eliminate deductions for state and local taxes. That would mean a large tax increase for New Yorkers. The proposal would also create large tax cuts for the very rich. The vote, which needed 215 votes and got 216, means the tax cut proposal only needs 51 votes in the Senate rather than 60, making it much easier to pass. The only New York Republicans to vote in favor of the budget resolution were Representatives Chris Collins of Western New York and Tom Reed of the Southern Tier. No Democrats voted for the bill. And Jimmy Vielkind reports for Politico that the vote Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, cast October 26th against the Republican tax cut framework may not have been such an independent stand against his own party. From Politico, quote, "Several New York Democrats questioned the opposition of Faso, Elise Stefanik, Claudia Tenney, and John Katko. Representative Greg Meeks, Democrat from Queens, said he saw the four huddling in the back of the House floor, waiting to cast their negative votes until the resolution's passage was secured. Quote, "They had to talk to one another to decide that they would have voted yes if their vote was needed, so they're not serious about protecting the hardworking men and women of New York State," Meeks said on a conference call with reporters. Quote, "They were missing in action, actually, at the tie of critical mass, and just came aboard once they knew they didn't have to because the Republicans had voters elsewhere. That's a political game. That's not standing up for New York," end quote. According to the report, Representative Jerry Nadler, Democrat from Manhattan, also saw the four huddling in the rear of the chamber and came to the same conclusion as Meeks. On an interview on the Fox Business Channel hours after the vote, Faso said, quote, the entire reason, end quote, he voted against the framework budget was because of the bill's elimination of the deduction for state and local taxes.
How much did these the elimination, potential elimination of state and local deductions play a role in your no vote?
Well, that it was the entire reason. I had voted for the House budget when it passed the House. The Senate sent it back with a provision which caused a lot of trouble for me and other New Yorkers and some people from states like New Jersey. It specifically targeted the state and local tax deduction. And the three things about tax reform we need to do are get more economic growth, lower the taxes for middle-class families, and help small businesses and businesses in our country create jobs here in the United States. So that's what I'm for, and that's what I'm hoping we can do. We want to shape this final tax bill, though, so that it doesn't penalize taxpayers in districts like mine and in states like mine.
Of course, the counter argument is that states like New York and New Jersey actually these folks are enjoying a subsidy, a benefit that others in other states don't get. Of course, I live in a high state. I live in Jersey, so I understand where you're coming from. But that's the pushback on this. Is there a middle ground for all of this?
Well, and the pushback on that is that we send many more dollars to Washington. We only get about 80 cents back for every dollar we send to Washington and New York. New Jersey only gets about 65 cents back. But that ultimately is not the issue for me. The issue is how do we fairly treat middle-class families in states like New York and New Jersey, Illinois, et cetera. And so I think we are in good faith negotiations with our House leadership, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Kevin Brady. He's been very forthcoming about wanting to accommodate us and coming to some type of compromise which we can live with. And so I'm working hard to make sure that happens. But the vote today, I wasn't about to vote for this because it was in essence saying, trust me, and I believe in what Ronald Reagan used to say about the Russians in missile negotiations, trust but verify. Right. So we need verification.
The bottom line, though, is that because of the reconciliation, somehow this is going to have to be revenue neutral when it's scored by the CBO. So we're talking at least $1 trillion has to come from somewhere. And we've seen some pretty interesting ideas pop up because of that. The border adjustment tax. Now, that's dead on arrival. I think it's a good thing.
Yes.
We're hearing this week even about changes to 401ks. Another fifth higher tax bracket. I mean, it feels like there's going to be some sort of, quote, compromise that goes against what voters thought they were voting for in November.
Well, the tax legislation is very complicated. There's 70,000 pages of regulations in this tax code. It's one of the reasons why we have to simplify it, reduce rates, reduce the number of brackets, eliminate a lot of the special interest provisions that are in the tax code. On the state and local tax deduction, though, I point out this has been in existence since 1913. Even when Abraham Lincoln had a temporary income tax during the Civil War, state taxes were not deductible against your federal taxes. So this is a principle that's been enshrined in our law for a long time. It doesn't mean that it can't be changed or moderated in some way, but we have to make sure that as we're doing this, we're not penalizing people in states like mine and hardworking taxpayers in New York and other places. So the key is coming up with a compromise that will work for everyone.
Read the full story in Politico.